Your vision is blurred, your hearing is shot, your language is slurred like a pirate on pot. You blow snot when you laugh and you spit when you speak. And that is why we don't have nice things. No nice things. No nice things. No nice things. And that is why we don't have nice things.
All right, and that was Luke Schmaltz playing
No Nice Things.
No Nice Things.
And this is the modern drunk.
Yeah, that's why we don't have nice things. It's a little too worry. So.
Yeah, fair enough.
And this is our, is this our eighth?
I don't know. We lost several. Right. Several are actually at the bottom of, I think they're in the drunk tank. The last one might be in the drunk tank. They actually came and arrested the podcast for stumbling down the street and yelling incoherently with his pants down at people.
That, of course, is not true.
And then the last time we did actually do a podcast with Luke, we got so drunk and we recorded over it because we are consummate, consummate professionals.
And I forgot to mention, this is the Modern Drunkard Podcast.
With Luke Schmaltz.
With Luke Schmaltz as our guest today. We did this before, but something happened to it.
Well, we went to the liquor store afterwards and each one of us bought what we thought everyone needed to drink. So I bought a 1.75 of whiskey. Luke bought two giant bottles of wine.
That's what I wanted to drink.
Frank bought a case of beer, I'm pretty sure. And then we came back, and I don't know why there was no communication.
Which is weird, because that's so unlike me. I generally buy the liquor, and you generally buy the beer. There it is. We were both.
I was just trying to be a kind of a referee and go right in the middle there. So I just got some wine to even everything out.
And then when we looked at the amount of alcohol, I think it was my right idea that we should probably resume the podcast.
After I begged you, I said, please do not touch the computer.
I didn't touch the computer because you touched the computer.
I know, I begged us off the top. I was like, I said, let's just get drunk because I'm touching the computer, but it's your idea. Everybody's like, no, now we're twice as smart as we were. We're fucking, we should do it. We'll do it again. We'll add some stuff. It'll be brilliant. And we got on there and we erased
it. Long story short, we erased the podcast. Yeah. So we're doing this again. This is a do-over with Luke.
I usually don't get do-overs. I fuck it up once and that's the end of that, man. Apparently, podcasts aren't made of porcelain.
Well, luckily this time we fucked it up.
Ceramic. So. Okay.
All right, so we're.
I thought maybe it was my terrible idea at some point. Let's go, let's talk some more, man.
I'm sure it was.
I'm pretty sure it was my idea. I'll take the
ball. I was going to go ahead and take the fall for you on that one, but all right.
I've reviewed the tape, and it seemed like it was both your guys' fault.
All right.
But
never yours. Never yours, Frank. Of course I understand. Not. No.
You can't fucking walk on water and fuck up podcasts at the same time.
So, anyway, we're here with Luke Schmaltz. Former owner of the bar in Denver called Benders and lead singer of King Rat. And
a legendary punk rock band in Denver.
How many years? 18 years?
You're a punk rocker in Denver. You've heard of these guys for
18 years, buddies.
Yeah. I've only managed 13. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't know how you do it, sir.
The next five are going to be the best. The next five are going to be really prolific. Yeah. Let me tell you, man. You're going to really...
Just solid nut punching.
You're going to figure out who your friends aren't in the next 5 years. I don't know. We kind of hit a stride, and there's always tensions and bullshit. And I think that the bullshit factor in the band now is lower than it's ever been, even though people do occasionally get a little bit sensitive, but not nearly to the degree of crybaby pussy boy shit. I mean, we all know each other's sensibilities. And we all know each other's fucking.
So wait a minute.
How many band members have you been through?
13 band members, but the guys together now. I mean, Anthony's the newest member. He's been in for 10.
Okay, so you whittle it down after a while, and then you get to
we know where we got, know what's what,
and also the band's older now, so it's not as much.
It's not as much fun because we're too old. We got olditis.
Yeah, could we play it at 6 instead of midnight?
No, it's
that kind of stuff. Or?
Well, I think my sanity level strangely has kind of evened out a little bit, and things I've become more creative the less crazy I am because I'm not spreading myself incredibly thin trying to run a club and babysit a bunch of bands and then be in a band and write a bunch of stuff and then work on that entire segment of rock and roll, and then have to go babysit a bunch of bands, which, you know, kind of cancels the whole thing out, and you become jaded on it because you're like, look at these fucking poops. They didn't show up. I know they didn't practice because, I mean, the guys, they're showing up with guitars and no fucking cases. First of all,
this guy doesn't have a guitar. That's the scaly music bullshit.
We'll go on to...
Get back to drinking. Borrowing. This is the Modern Drunkard podcast.
Borrowing.
Okay.
I mean that's key.
It gave you a unique perspective, didn't it? Because, you know, you were the band always playing these bars, and you would get ripped off by the bar manager and stuff, and you would fucking hate him. And then you became that guy where... You became the great Satan. I'm sure you were totally cool.
Why do you think I'm not in business anymore? I couldn't bring myself to fucking rip bands off, man. It's like, you can't fucking do that, man.
I treated bands extremely well, and I will agree with that after playing at your club many times. I mean, you're one of the few places in town that has a free beer for the bands backstage.
Man, I hooked people up. I was like, well, I know how I want to be treated as a fucking musician, and I got... And I can't just now, because I put on a different colored fucking jacket, throw, like, all of a sudden I'm not giving out fucking fun tickets, man, because, you know, especially as a bar owner, I mean, you have an endless fucking string of fun tickets if you want to. It just depends on how stringent you are on the bottom line.
So imagine yourself 10 years ago, and you were the band coming in, and you were playing at your club. How would you rate yourself?
I'd say,
who's that angry dick who's running?
Yeah, you're saying this guy's such a fucking asshole. Where's our fucking beer?
No, I'd say this guy's an asshole, but he knows what he's talking about. And if you're cool to him, you're going to fucking walk out of here with an impending hangover, having had plenty to drink, no bar tab, and probably a good friend. Because bands that were cool... I made friends with them.
All right. Where they could walk out with any money for the band?
No, we did decent. I mean,
I had to take a pittance off the door to offset my costs for all the booze I'm giving away to my musician friends. But I basically take a very small amount.
Sure.
But had I met myself 10 years ago, we would have been in a fight. there would have been a fist fight for sure.
Yeah, but I was thinking about meeting myself like 20 years ago, the young Frank Rich, and under different circumstances in a bar, we'd probably fight.
Not because
I'm an asshole, but because there's always that sense of fucking sarcasm and that macho slights and stuff.
I probably would have found myself somebody
hitting on somebody's girlfriend, there's a
probably fight. Insufferable. I think I would have found myself. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. But
part of the reason for getting out of the bar business, it was a music venue. If it was just a little bar, you know, have someone else run it and come in every morning and count the money. Fine, that's one thing. But this is a music venue. Part of the reason for it was because, you know, we're gonna touch on music all day long, whether you like it or not. Sorry, Frank.
Yep.
But we can interweave it into the conversation. But this is the modern.
You just unstitched my weave.
But you know, it is every drunk's kind of dream to retire and own a bar.
Well, as a drunk, I realize that I need to stop dreaming. But yeah, Was it a dream or a delusion?
But then I think every drunk imagines owning like a little neighborhood bar.
Right, exactly. You owned a really big club and you had live music every night. And it's,
I just couldn't handle it, man. I just couldn't take it.
There was a lot of square feet. That's Luke Stark.
Yeah, he wants to be on the podcast. Come on, buddy. Well,
he drinks beer, right? Whiskey?
Yeah. The guy I was 10 years ago, based on the guy I am now, had we met, there probably would have been an immediate, like, fuck you. And then, depending on who had the strongest will at that point, whoever buckled first, there would have been an immediate admission of, like, well, we're kindred spirits. We probably might as well wind up as allies.
Can you start making out and shit?
I don't. We probably draw a line at making out. We probably get in a fist fight and then do a little bit of like
man
like,
hugging,
like man, ironic, man, man hugging,
like man hugging and shots, and
tons of man hugging, a little bit of like a little sniffle here or there, and then there'd be a lot of whiskey,
of course,
and that's kind of the way that you mend male relationships, is not through long drawn out disdain, like the way that women deal with women that they don't like, is they'll harbor this little tiny pearl of disdain,
yeah.
and it will form into this monster of hatred over like yeah. nothing. Yeah. Like, he didn't like my shoes that one night right. 10 years ago. No, I hate that bitch.
No,
girls don't get that thing out. They won't just like. Just punch it out and drink it out and cry yeah. it out and slap it out. They'll hold on to that thing and turn it into this monstrous behemoth of unnecessary vitriol that doesn't need to exist. Guys just either just like get it out of there, like handle it, or you know, or don't. You yeah. know,
and they just become lifelong enemies.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I would hate to be a lifelong enemy of myself.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I've been there.
What you guys said?
I tried it, man, but I was like, well, how long are you going to hate me?
Exactly. See, and it gets boring. Because you know yeah. exactly what the other person's doing.
Especially yeah, with yourself.
Nick, if I know you correctly, you tend to harbor a lot of these hatreds and...
Oh, no.
Because you have a lot of people that you won't talk to anymore. Then they, sometimes they'll come back into your fold and then they you... them again, usually involved with like not paying rent or something like
yeah that. It's usually not paying rent, knowing me say $1,000 or something. I right. get a little irritated by that.
Gee, I wonder why that might irritate you.
But on the other hand, if they start paying me back, I'm fine because I'm getting paid back, you know. If it's right. a matter of money, you know.
Yeah, you know, but let's make it clear, you're not a landlord. You just happen to
I just happened to I was either getting evicted for one of
you were roommates
of one of my five roommates. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you guys something,
because I was the only one who could manage to.
You guys want to hear something cool about an ex-roommate / ex-bandmate?
Sure. Just the dirt.
This will fucking knock your fucking socks off, man.
Wow. But let me take my shoes off so okay. I can get my socks ready.
You're not even, you're not even let me put my sock garters on to contain the socks.
I'm going to put on I'm going to plug my nose because Frank's going to take his shoes off. All right. So,
all right. Before you get into the story, though, let's tell them what we're drinking.
It's, all right.
I think we're drinking Old Crow.
Yeah.
Old Crow.
It's an homage to Denver Joe.
Right on. Who we'll be discussing later.
Yes, we will.
And we're also drinking a macro brew of various sorts. PBR.
Yeah, I'm drinking Red Stripe.
Red Stripe. Yes. Oh, Red Stripe. You fancy bastard.
There's I am a fancy bastard.
There's my Verweizen that showed up in the mail today, actually.
That's the reggae beer, isn't it?
It's the six-pack that wasn't Budweiser at the liquor store that wasn't $10.
Okay. How much was it?
$7.50.
For a six pack. That's outrageous.
Yeah.
God, what's happening to us?
That's from like Jamaica.
I just knew you'd bring light beer, and I really didn't want to have light beer because I'm not like a carb counting weirdo like you. So
well, are you a sugar tit? Do you need all that sugar?
That's not sugar, man. I like flavor in my beer. That's one of my things.
You think Red Stripe has flavor?
It has more flavor than the generic light beer that you were drinking, sir. For those who just enjoy urinating, sir, you know, it's...
Oh, we're going to cut this out.
Oh, because I'm making fun of you?
No, making fun of my special beer.
Yes, I am.
Which is Miller Lite.
Yes, I am. I'm making fun of it.
It's true. I'm on a carb thing because I put on some weight during my wife's pregnancy.
I was going to say, what's going on, you fat fuck?
What's up with your hair?
Oh, man. I decided
running again, so I'm going to lose weight. So that, I want to see you get your hair back.
And that actually segues right into a little...
Now that I'm not a bar owner anymore, I probably might. But I just keep... I'm in the habit of, like, shaving all the time. So I like that.
Yeah.
See, but that does segue into a little bit of booze news.
Okay. We need to take a break right now and refill Frank's drink. You guys are falling a little bit behind here, but let's take a little break. Okay. Frank's going to reload here, and then you guys could... Guess, actually, you're pretty good in your drinks, so we'll just... back in a second. And speaking of the booze news, the National Highway, what are they called?
National Highway Safety and Transportation Administration.
It's a federal agency. They've been one of the most anti-drinking groups around forever.
Yeah, and they're trying to lower the nationwide drinking drunk driving level to 0.05. And people across the board have come out and saying this is stupid. Nehasta.
Yeah. The nastiness of Nehasta.
They just wanted to make sure it was hard to pronounce while you were drunk. Basically, the founder of MAD has come out against this, is saying this is a dumb... It's an idea. It's it's not going to change anything.
Everybody is coming.
It's just basically a
revenue grab. Even USA Today is coming in. And they're generally an anti-drinking organization.
It's basically a revenue grab by the basically this national organization, part of the government, is saying, how about we do this, and all the states can make a ton of money off poor schmucks who have a glass of wine or a bottle of beer with their dinner. And then you're pretty much,
just criminalize everybody.
Yeah, and it's not like, oh, well, you did something bad and we're going to take care of you, or we're just going to fine you, we're going to do this. Basically, they get full control of your life. You have to do a BA and a UA, and you have to pay for it. You have to pay for alcohol classes, and they treat you like this horrible criminal. And when you're in jail, I mean, sure, you broke the law, but on the other hand, I work with a lot of people on work release who are in for DUIs, and they basically are treated just as bad as any domestic violence, violent offenders, where what they did is they had a lapse in judgment. I mean, driving drunk is stupid.
No, come on.
But...
No, the 0.05, this is an actual outrage. Because what they're talking about is you go into the ball game and having a couple of beers, or you go into a dinner and splitting a bottle of wine with your wife, and they can actually bust you at a checkpoint, and you got to spend, you're going to lose $10,000, for the lawyers and stuff and all the fees. You might spend some time in jail and you're totally fine to drive. It's fucking ridiculous. I mean,
but on top of that, it is basically...
You're not going to get in an accident.
Basically, it's a revenue generator is what it's turned into, rather than being safety issue.
It's another tax.
You guys want to know why there's a revenue
deficit? Because the government needs more money, and they want to tax sources.
Let me tell you why. Because there's been a shift. Because of the economic downturn, people are not... drinking and driving as much
and smoking as much, so I think it's not all that revenue.
And there was this massive windfall of monthly revenue coming to the government from this huge industry called DUI. And people are not drinking and driving as much because people are getting smarter and people are getting broker as it goes. So people are staying at home, people are getting fucking smarter about it, and all of a sudden there's this huge vacuum in their ledger, and they need to figure out a way to clamp down to recoup that income that was happening before.
And also, now they're even getting into it in basically extra legal ways, like in Boulder, in our own backyard, where they found out that the people who were testing the blood for DUIs when people were biased, and they were actually having
influenced by prosecutors.
Yeah, the prosecutors were basically going, hey, if you could just make that a little bit stronger, then we can get more money out of this person. So basically, it was that much of a revenue generator that they had DAs trying to influence people who were testing the blood. So
it is a diabolical system where they're actually, because they're making so much tax off vices, once people start losing those vices, they got to fucking start upping it. Start making it lowering the levels of what actually is a vice. It's an outrage.
I think, at
can we
some
agree
point,
it's an actual outrage?
It's a fucking outrage. And what's going to happen is if you even have like a vice or a set of vice grips in your house, you could get taxed. That's why I hide my vice grips. And that's why I have a vice.
They're right under
on my workbench, and I don't fucking tell any. It's undocumented. It's right next to my gun cabinet.
So we've come to the actual outrage part of the program. So do you want to get on to product reviews?
Let's do it.
All right. So you gave me some of these vitamins to try
out.
HTV, Happy Hour Vitamins.
A disclaimer, they have advertised on the website. So
I tried them. And here's, this is my disclaimer. Something when you're taking... when you're taking a preventative, it's not like I could go out and go, okay, I'm going to have the exact same amount of alcohol I had the night before, in the exact same bars and eat the exact same things at the exact same time.
You're wild
and then cards, and then so come in, but then come into the next day, and you know there's no way to actually do a good clinical trial on this. I think they work. I went on a really long binge in San Francisco just recently. A bunch of us went down there and hit a bunch of fun bars down there. It's a great drinking city. And I was doing what they said. You eat. I mean, there's a whole bunch of vitamins you got to take for this too. That was my one problem with it, is that you have to take like three vitamins a day. And then three vitamins before you go to sleep. So you got to take six vitamins a day, and they're pretty pricey. So yeah, that you know. But at least it's not like some other hangover cures where you're like, well, you got to take one with each drink.
All that money you spent on booze, you could have just spent on vitamins, man.
Exactly. But I found that my hangovers were still bad, but they went away way quicker.
I agree.
And I did that. I also did drinking in Denver because, remember, there's the altitude difference. And
Huge difference.
But I also spent several weeks drinking in Denver. And the same thing, I'd wake up and go, yeah, I'm pretty hungover. And I'd take the vitamins. And then it seemed like it would last about half as long. So rather than the hangovers being not as bad, they just showed up and then went away a lot quicker.
I agree. They're not as crippling as they used to be.
Yeah. This is
one. Seems to work.
I still would like to find a restorative.
It's not a cure for Christ.
I would like to find a restorative that where I wake up with a hangover, I can just down it. Apparently we got sent some beer.
Yes, we did. Sweetwater, which is awesome company in the sense they send us a lot of beer. It's called, what is it called, dear Luke?
Waterkeeper Hefeweizen Ale.
All right, let's have a taste.
To benefit Waterkeeper Alliance. All right, well, give it a try.
All right.
It's a Hefeweizen. Oh, that's good.
Hey, that's not too bad, actually.
No, I like it.
Whoa.
I can fucking don't drink this shit on it. The mainstream.
What does that mean? Okay, so, well, I get
they're,
it.
They're a counterculture beer.
Yeah.
Brewery.
Well, I'm not a big fan of Hefeweizen. It always tastes to me like it's
been well, then, I you, am. Then you can't have any. I'll drink yours.
Always seems to me like it tastes like it's been strained through the brewmaster's underwear.
Oh, my.
But that's just every Hefeweizen. This one is not, it doesn't have that giant, weedy, rotten beer taste to it.
So. No, it seems a little toned down. I mean, I got hooked on Hefeweizen when I was in Germany, and it's
still,
it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Not for you, huh?
And it's not, nothing against the brewers, it's just Hefeweizen.
I think it's awesome.
I brew beer.
One man's trash is another man's stash.
I brew beer, and when it goes bad, it tastes like that. That's
really?
That's why I've always hated Hefeweizen. It tastes like I just screwed up a homebrew.
You son of a bitch.
That's how it is. I don't
like
beer. Now
that I can send us any more beer, I hope you're happy. So.
Well, didn't you bring some over to my barbecue a couple days ago that I did like? I did like their, that.
They do a lot of stuff. You like the IPA.
Yeah, I like the IPA. Yeah. That was a really good IPA. This one, well, I just don't like wheat beer. So,
Well, plainly, sir, you are not a
wheat beer kind of guy.
Yes. You're not glutenist, for sure.
God, no.
Yeah, this whole gluten thing, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous.
Well, yeah, 1% of the population has celiac disease, but 90%
like 20%
of Boulder
now
has it.
Is,
so, you know.
20% of the population is now doing the gluten-free thing.
Which, there's nothing bad about gluten unless you have celiac disease.
Right.
It makes me mad as someone who cooks. And
what's a celiac? Like a funny maniac?
No, I think it's actually something from Doctor Who.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know a lot of celiacs. I don't want to cure that disease. I'd stop having fun.
Back to the 0.05 thing. I mean, all the
away from the puns and
if we could.
Is that all we have to sample?
I'll
sample tons of shit.
It's just like prohibition. They're trying to criminalize, you know, the law-abiding segment of society. They're trying to put people in jail for freaking having a couple glasses of wine after freaking. During dinner and driving home. It's fucking stupid.
But we do have, you know, you do have to admit that getting wasted and getting your car is a fucking dumb process.
Dude, we're talking about 0.05.
Yes, we are.
Which is, you're not drunk at all. I mean,
No, I'm...
You're totally fine to drive. I mean, it's totally ridiculous.
So basically, if you gargle... If you gargle with Listerine and you go to work, then you're basically a criminal.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, that's what it comes down to.
Well, and that leads us on to some of the questions we've had, which is ways to hide a hangover.
Yeah.
At work, which was one of your articles.
Listerine doesn't work because, like, nothing really works for your breath unless it's, like, really strong mint. Like, Listerine basically smells like medicine, and it sounds delicious because when I run out of booze, I'll take a shot of Listerine if that's all there is. But essentially, if you're going to work and you know you have to fucking hide your hangover from the man, I mean, the best way to fucking deal with it is have that cognitive plan. You know you're drunk. You know you're going to bed drunk. You know you're going to wake up still fucking toxic. But if you can have the wherewithal to fucking, like, give yourself a good fucking scrub, like, wash the scent of saloon out of your skin and hair, and brush your teeth, and, you know, maybe adopt a little bit more of an industrious attitude that day to kind of compensate.
I was doing my best not to stand next to people.
And then you use a little bit of cologne to fucking hide the smell.
No, a really good fucking ruse if you're, like, super hungover, if you're at an office job or whatever, is to elect yourself to do the job that nobody wants. Because when you're really hungover, I mean, you could really tolerate a lot of fucking madness, and nothing really matters. I mean, like, the menial tasks that normally would, like, just give you a headache because there's no cerebral activity involved, you know, this is idiot work. When you're really hungover, it's like, dude, this is perfect work for me. And
my best advice is to fucking keep your mouth shut.
Yep. Right.
To lay low.
Smile, nod, humor people, but do not say a fucking word and just back out.
If you're that hungover, you're probably still drunk. And your natural idea is to fucking, you know, be mouthy. Keep your mouth shut, because not only when you talk, they can smell your fucking breath, and they know you're drinking. Just keep your mouth shut, bite your tongue, keep your mouth shut, lay low. Just like in basic training. You don't want the fucking sergeants to know you're there. Just keep low, ride it through.
Yeah. The fact that you might be breathing on people.
And also trying to melt into the background. You know, don't make yourself obvious.
That's what we just said, Nick.
Yes. Any more questions from
we do have some
from our six listeners.
They specify their ones.
More whiskey.
All right, this actually, this question pertains to you, Nick. Because you remember you did the article about the kitchen cocktails.
Yeah.
This gentleman says, this is from Garrow from Germany. He says, the one question he wants to ask is, what is the best drink you've invented or came up with while being dealt a bad hand of ingredients at a early morning party or whatever? So everybody's saying after the party, you've got few options as far as liquor left. Okay, so you have a bottle of vodka and you have a bunch of condiments.
Well, I mean, you know, it's in the article there. I mean,
hold on.
I mean, I'm saying with vodka, it's easy.
Right.
Because vodka goes with everything.
Say you have a bottle of vodka and the usual amount of condiments in the kitchen.
No, I like the mustard gas as a shot.
Lay it on a
it's basically, it's just mustard and vodka. And you whip it up, you know, and it's a little, rough.
So you're saying it's mustard and vodka.
Yeah.
Mixed together as a shot.
Yeah, but I really like mustard, so it works really good for me.
What else you got?
Imagine you
have the usual amount of condiments in the kitchen.
No, the usual amounts. I find that...
You have Taco Bell, a hot sauce.
That doesn't work for me. I've tried it. But actually, it was pretty
good. How about a cocktail?
Well, it was pretty good. Oh, cocktail. I just think I usually just do shots. Actually, a good one is grape jelly and a little bit of peanut butter. And you whip it up, but you have to really fucking whip it up. With vodka, and then pour it over ice. It's a PB&J drink, and that's pretty
good. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty good. Now, the problem you run into is when you don't have vodka.
Well, vodka is like the tofu of vodka.
Yeah, when you run into it, when you have, like, I don't know, whiskey. Whiskey's easy for me since I do branch waters. You know, I can drink really shitty whiskey with just ice and water. But if you end up with...
Does that include H&H?
Yes, it does, and it will soon enough. We're drinking Old Crow right now, and I see how it's creeping down. There's a bottle of Ancient Age
in the
freezer right now staring us in the eye.
Old Crow is actually it's a good American bourbon.
Yeah,
it's a lower-priced good American bourbon, just like...
Evan Williams.
Evan Williams.
Yeah. I was in the liquor store aisle today, like, riffing back and forth with Crystal, like, okay, which
Crystal's your better half,
sweet,
right?
Sweet wife.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, which bottom of the barrel scrape are we going to do today, man?
I'm surprised you didn't get 7 high. Or 10 high.
10 high, 10 high.
7 high.
I thought you about
wrote
it.
Wrote a song about
that's
ten
probably
high
the Chinese knockoff is 7 high.
7 high. 7 high.
Who the hell's with a hand with 7
no, high? And like some girl like coming by just happened to like chime in, like, you know, because I'm like, you know, I'm like, okay, what fucking shitty whiskey are we going to get today? And she's like, well, geez, I don't know. There's 10 high. That was the first thing she said. I'm like, yeah, that's too obvious for these guys, you know?
Wait. So it never entered your mind to actually buy a decent bottle of
whiskey? Oh, it did.
Whiskey.
Because Chris was like, well, Bullet's pretty decently priced.
Actually,
I'm like,
Bullet is the good, cheap.
Yeah.
They have some kind of sale.
Crystal,
I still prefer Crystal Williams over Bullet. Really
Crystal, don't. to her credit, pointed out that the price difference between Bullet and 10 High and Evan Williams and Old Crow and Ancient Age was like very minor. And I was
no,
like,
it is. Bullet is like the one that's like $2 more.
I wanted to get Old Crow because I mentioned this in the Denver Joe song I'm going to play in a minute.
Right.
But I was like, okay. And then this other, we're talking about like shitty whiskey, and this other girl walks by and she's like, well, actually, Ancient Age is the bottom of the barrel stuff from all of the makers.
Who was this woman?
I don't know. Some
so she was saying, the Ancient Age saleswoman who came by.
No, she wasn't working. She wasn't working. She had a shopping cart full.
Sure, she
full
wasn't.
Of
that's
booze.
Her job is to run, walk through yeah. with the thing, and just
so,
have,
and to sell people shitty
so
whiskey.
So you're saying, yes. you're saying Maker's Mark actually makes Ancient Age as well?
Yes.
Is that true?
Well, that obviously a stranger told me. Of course, it's true.
I heard it on the internet.
Maker's Mark has only been around since the '50s, I think, and Ancient Age has been around since forever.
Well, obviously, look at the name.
Yeah, it's ancient. It's very, very old.
Maybe they bought it out, but
anyways, just because of the like the hilarity of somebody like coming in and like having to be in that aisle commenting on the different nuances of really shitty whiskey, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and take a stranger's advice because I mean, how bad am I going to fucking flag between, you know, Kentucky Gentleman and Old Crow? I mean, there's not a whole lot of fucking buildings the pendulum's going to knock over in that oscillation.
Oh, Kentucky Deluxe, you man.
Yeah, whatever.
Now that's...
That's well whiskey.
That is, yeah. That's whiskey.
We should
vodka.
Do an article where we take all the bottom shelf stuff that we've been talking about. And
I'll do it.
Yeah. Compare.
Okay.
Blind taste test.
Okay.
Let's do that.
I'll do that. And, you know, my mission was, I was like, okay, I'm going to get some Old Crow because I've been singing about Old Crow for the last couple days working out this fucking Denver Joe tune. And then, you know, as an homage, obviously. And I was like, okay, I'll put Ancient Age and Old Crow in the freezer, and I'll see which one you guys go for first.
Yeah, I went for Old Crow right off the bat. I was the one who cracked the bottle.
You always go for the smaller bottle first.
Oh, is that
no? Actually, I went. I looked at both, and I
generally
went for the
that's
Old
what
Crow.
You think. I mean, you see the big bottle that you think that's, you know, that's the, you know, for the plebes.
That's what I become a welcome guest later.
Do you see gigantic bottles of like really good scotch ever?
Yeah, but I went. I looked and I saw Old Crow and I saw Ancient Age and I went, yeah, I'm gonna.
That's a psychological thing. I mean, if you see a smaller bottle, you think that's the better
one. No, it was a psychological thing because I knew that fucking whoever opened the freezer first, whether it was you or you, someone was going to get the Old Crow first. And even though I hid the Old Crow behind the Ancient Age.
No, I went for the Old Crow because I looked at it. It's like, there's two bottles
in here.
I'm going for the Old Crow.
Now, come on. You don't buy a gigantic bottle of expensive whiskey. You buy the smaller bottle of expensive whiskey, and you buy the bigger bottle of inexpensive
whiskey. But I also know my whiskey, and I'd rather have
Old Crow
than Ancient Age.
I bought a cheaper bottle of little whiskey. Little bottle of cheaper whiskey. I know.
You clever son of a bitch.
I know, man. Fucking, I fucking used up all my fucking checkers. All my checkers points on this one.
I'll admit those are comparable in prices on whatever size they are.
Perhaps.
Ancient Age.
Also, one is in a plastic bottle and one is in a glass bottle.
All right, we're going to have to do a taste test in the future issue where we're going to do all the fucking lower end.
But I will admit, if I see one in a glass bottle and one in a plastic bottle, I'm going to drink out of the glass bottle.
Yeah, that's psychological, but it's totally true.
Yeah.
Even though plastic is, I don't know, plastic is more expensive in the long run because it takes longer to fucking...
What?
Recycle than glass, doesn't it?
Oh, come on. We're talking about...
I wasn't talking eco, you know, eco stuff, but... I mean, but if it comes
to the fuck drunk, ego, man. Fuck your ego shit.
Stuff.
If it comes in a drunk proof bottle, you know, then I'm pretty sure.
What is a drunk
proof? Well,
plastic.
Okay,
you know, if you drop it, it's not going to break.
Now I understand your foresight because you brought out the one that is in glass first.
Exactly. So later when we have the plastic bottle, it's not going to break and we get a drink.
But you know what? Great move, man. Thank you.
You know what?
You just served.
I'm always thinking three moves ahead.
You just saved me.
Always three moves ahead.
Dude,
you know what? You can even drop a bottle of whiskey, and let's say you're on some kind of like a granite surface or something. It's like
which we usually are. We just kind of stumble over granite figuratively in our life. Yeah.
In our fancy mansions. Down at the dump. What was that band?
Oh, the U.S. Bombs?
My
mansion by the dump. Kicking my can across a dirty street by my mansion at the dump. U.S. Bombs.
What happened to those guys?
They're still fucking cranking, man.
Right on.
All
right,
so you going to play this tune, Luke?
Yeah, I think
I will. Well, I go get some whiskey.
All right. He played every Monday cricket on the hill. We went there to forget, but I swear I never will. The worse he would insult us, the better off the show. His fans adored a man no one will ever know. He was partial to Jack Daniels, but they served him up Old Crow. When they finally locked that handle, he hung his head down low. So goes the woe of the man called Denver Joe. So goes the woe of the man called Denver Joe. Barbara Jean was his true love, and she danced off with a fool. Guess money beats out character when survival is the rule. Well, he could have had a career, but he wouldn't follow suit. He knew that the muse turns men into prostitutes. He was partial to Jack Daniels, but they served him up Old Crow. When they finally locked that handle, he hung his head down low. So goes the woe of the man called Denver Joe. So goes the woe of the man called Denver Joe. He made us laugh and cry the way he did those songs. His voice was rough, his manner tough, and you just had to sing along. Now we don't sing for his supper or go dancing for the man. And he plays his tunes alone, sitting by the nightstand. He was partial to Jack Daniels, but they served him up Old Crow. When they finally locked that handle, he hung his head down low. So goes the woe of the man called Denver Joe. So goes the woe of the man called Denver Joe. For a time the lost and lonely had a place that they could turn. To sit in the dark and listen to a drunk and righteous jerk. But progress took its toll and time scarred his sacred ground. All the old haunts are all closed, where's the ghost gonna hang around? He was partial to Jack Daniels, but they served him up Old Crow. When they finally locked that handle, he hung his head down low. So goes the woe for the man called Denver Joe. So goes the woe of the man called Denver Joe.
Yes! Well done, sir.
That was a song to the patron saint of Denver drunken country music, Denver Joe.
Yeah, and people outside of Denver won't understand this, but Denver Joe was, he used to play the Crooked Little Hill every Monday.
Every Monday for years and years and years.
I used to work there as a bouncer.
20 years. Yeah, me too. Luke as well. We all worked.
We all did. I mean, it was.
It's like a rite of passage.
actually, they described the cricket at one point when the cricket closed as Denver CBG.
But he was like our Bukowski. I mean, he was our mentor as far as drinking. He was the guy.
Oh, I agree. I wasn't anyone until Denver Joe actually remembered my name.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, and then we remembered my name, and he came to me about an article that I wrote for the Drunkard, and I was like. Okay, good. I'm redeemed in the
I validated my existence because I'm someone.
You never knew what you're going to get. I mean, it was must have been incredible.
Well,
incredible
you either got that he was really drunk and he played every song beautifully and it was a beautiful fucking thing, or he got where he was really really drunk and he couldn't finish his song and he just insulted you the entire time.
But
good.
You know what? He always sounded good. But okay, I want to pick this up, Luke. You were saying they were serving him Old Crow instead of Jack. I know they did refuel the bottles of Jack Daniels with something else. Was it Old Crow?
That came from Davey, and also was validated by you because you worked there. And
they refilled the bottles there, but
that was a bar where you had to go. I would like this, but it is Jack it Daniels, really that?
I'm not sure if it was Old Crow. I think it was Kentucky Jack.
I think David gave me the inside scoop on the Old Crow. Because I think that was, and it was probably oscillated between Old Crow and other brands.
Some other cheaper brand, yeah.
But I just stuck onto that because it just seemed really appropriate. Right.
Well, I remember when Denver Joe played at the Lions there, and they actually served him Jack Daniels, real Jack Daniels, and he was like, "What the hell is this?"
When Joe was really on, it was an uncanny experience. It was almost ethereal, and I'm not like a big fucking woohoo spiritual guy or any of that, but it was like really like fucking, man, I feel fucking better than I did five seconds ago.
The man commanded the stage. I mean, he was fucking, and you didn't want to get on the wrong side of this guy because he would tear you apart.
Well, for a while, it was my kind of...
And he was a hell of a singer. I mean, Uncle Dick Maestas,
isn't Uncle Dick Maestas
glorious time?
Isn't he in the Country Music Hall of Fame?
The Colorado Country
Music. Colorado Music Country Hall.
Yeah, it was a glorious time to be in Denver. I mean,
but Uncle Dick and Aunt Lois.
I feel lucky to have been there.
And but
consummate professionals.
But he was also great. I'd bring dates to go see him to weed out the weaklings, and I showed up at this show with this girl. He was doing a weird show at Streets of London, and I walked in with this girl, and it was our first date.
Joe played Streets of London?
One show. And I'm like, bring the girl in with you. He's like, Nicky.
He played the Hornet. I got him in it. When I was managing the Hornet on Meher on Broadway, I got him in there for a show.
But he stopped.
He's like, "Oh, Frank, you want me to tone it down a little bit?" And I was like, "Don't, Joe. Just do your thing, man." it was hilarious.
So I bring this date into the Streets of London, and he just stops in the middle of the set and goes, Nicky, it's a very pretty girl you got there. I didn't know you're bisexual." And the girl's just like, "What?" I'm like, "It's Joe." And then I'm like, "Sit down." And he starts playing. She's like, "I don't like country." I'm like, "Well, then fuck off."
Yeah.
You know, and she's like, our first date ended like right there where she's like, "I don't like country." I'm like, "Well, time to go." You don't get the fact that the guy stopped to make fun of me walking in the door. That should be cool. Yeah. Instead, you found him cool. Weird, you know, whatever.
I took a first date.
And a really smart guy. Jesus.
Oh, God. Like, wicked smart. I mean, this guy gave me...
I mean, the guy probably has, like, a 150 IQ. I mean, just really smart guy. Okay, we have one more question. It's another from one of our listeners. He's it's a gentleman from...
Sacramento.
Philip from Sacramento.
Philip.
One of his old friends was... He got drunk at a bar. And he got on his bike, and he got pulled over for driving while bicycling.
Crock of shit. Crock of shit. I mean, it's another...
Was his bike a crock of shit, or the whole thing is just crock of shit?
Should there be BUIs?
God, it's offensive, because these people getting on their bike... They're trying to avoid the whole drinking
and driving thing.
Okay, so if it really is a matter of safety... Okay, so if you get in a car and you're going to run someone over when you're drunk and you're going to get an accident, that's horrible. If you're going to get on your bike, what are you going to do? You're going to run into, say, a brick wall, Frank. Or you're going to do...
Which I have done.
You're going to hurt yourself. You aren't going to hurt it. So fuck you, man. I mean, I'm sorry. Exactly. You aren't going to injure anyone...
You're
going
to hurt yourself.
Let me hurt myself.
Fucking cool shit about bicycling drunk?
Yes.
May I tell my story about Frankie? Frankie?
Of course you can. I was part of this story.
No, you were the fucking main character of this story.
I
was a supporting character in this story. And I can tell
I should tell the story because I was the main character.
No, you don't remember shit.
I remember telling
you. We talked about the brick wall?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I get a fucking phone call from Frankie. And, like, Frank never calls me unless there's a fucking crisis.
I'm not a big phone guy.
He's not a phone guy.
It's a
call from Frankie. It's either really good news or really bad news.
Right.
Frankie's like, I think I'm in the hospital. I don't know where I'm at. I think it's at St. Anthony's or something. I don't know where I'm at. But you got to come fucking get me out of here, man. Like, fucking right now. I'm like, okay.
Because I had no health insurance.
But you're a veteran, so.
Yeah, eventually that didn't work out so well.
Okay, well, regardless, as I continue, I'm like, okay, where the fuck are you? He's like, well, I don't fucking rightly know. I'm like, well, can you get, like, any kind of information, and I'll fucking come
this
get you.
This is a good friend. Right?
I'll come get you fucking immediately. And I'm like, okay, I gotta stop everything I'm doing. I gotta fucking go down there and get fucking Frankie out where he's at, because being in the hospital is the best way to die. Because you don't want to fucking be in it. You don't want to be in a hospital, man. You want to die in this fucking... You want to die in the street swinging a fucking axe into somebody in his face. You don't want to fucking...
They will kill you in a hospital.
Oh, yeah. Of course they will.
Especially when they realize you have no insurance.
Well, regardless, so...
Which I didn't.
So, okay, fair enough. So, I figure out... I do a little bit of fucking calling around. I figure out where the fuck he is. I'm like, fucking, oh my God.
What do you mean you did a bunch of calling around? I told you. I must have told you, because how can you just call around and figure out where it was at?
I called them to make sure that you had the right fucking coordinates. Right. And then I went there immediately, okay?
No, you did.
And then I went there fucking immediately, and Frankie's got this fucking huge thing around his head. He's got a fucking IV in his arm, and he's like, okay. And I look in the trash can, and there's like a fucking empty bottle of Stranahan's whiskey in there, and I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? All right, I'm piecing it together. I was like, okay, he went to Stranahan's. He fucking probably fucking helped distill or helped bottle a couple bottles of whiskey or whatever, and then he took... too many fucking gulps and just fucking...
No, like, you... Ran no, see, you, I should tell the story.
No. Let me tell my version, you tell your version. Okay. How about that? Are we on a time constraint here?
Yeah, I don't think any of this is actually going to go on the podcast, Frank.
No, I think it is, because...
All right.
No, you want to check some fucking
cool... He said...
No. Check some fucking cool shit out. This is totally cool. I get in there and Frank's like, oh, good, you're here. And total Frank fashion, he's like, oh, good, you're here. Okay, what's the closest path to the exit? I'm like, well, I just had to go, like, get, like checked in through a bunch of people. And he's like, well, no, we're going to make a run for it. We're going
to
fucking make
it.
We're going to totally make a run for it. And he pulls out the fucking IV, blood everywhere. I'm like going to the fucking whatever drawer there and, like, wrap him up. I'm like, okay, dude, you gotta fucking stop moving around. I need to talk to a doctor before we fucking move out of here.
See, that was our mistake.
No, we should just move.
No, we should just walk.
But I didn't know if you had a fucking. I didn't know if you had a fucking major head injury.
No, I knew I had no insurance, so I was like, "This is walk the fuck out."
The question is whether or not he has a head injury.
Let me give you the backstory. I went to the Serenahan's distillery to help them distill some bottles.
Yeah, they needed help. They need your help for sure.
Yeah, they did. They really did. I got drunk with the a friend of mine. I got drunk with the.
Jake Norris.
Just not mention any names.
Okay.
We'll beep not Jake Norris.
We'll beep that out. Anywho.
Jake Norris.
As we were, and of course I drink with him because I know the guy. And then I got a bottle of Serenahan's and I went back. The office from there was like fucking four blocks. So I went back to the office and I drank.
This is old? Like old
school? I drank like most of the bottle of Serenahan's, yeah, gotcha. Which is a good 96 proof fucking bottle of
whiskey.
Then I decided I'll just ride my bike home from here. So this is a bike path straight home to my place. 3 miles, no big deal.
So you sided with me.
I wake up and I'm in the hospital. My cell phone is still in my pocket, so I call Luke. I was like, Luke, he is my best friend. I call him and I was like, fucking Luke, I'm in this fucking hospital. It's not a VA hospital, fucking. Come over and see me, man. Come and get me out of this fucking place. He comes over immediately. It's fucking good friend right there. Seriously.
God, I dropped while I was a...
No, my friend. You were fucking there in this fucking second. It's fucking awesome.
Can I continue my take on that one?
Okay.
My take on this one is like...
I caught him up, I think.
It's like, okay, you're wandering around... You're like fucking. You take out the IV. I fucking wrap your arm up, and I'm like, dude, I need to talk to a doctor to make sure.
Doctors were assholes, man. They were like fucking totally. I really just lost my.
Doctors. You told me something that was fucking so fucking hilarious. You're like, I want a fucking EKG because I want to fucking know that I have a fucking brain tumor or something, that will fucking explain the insanity. I want to be fucking diagnosed with some kind of a condition that will explain my insanity. And I asked the doctor, I'm like, before I get this guy out of here, is he okay? And the doctor's like, yeah, he's totally fine. I was like, well, there you go, fucker. You're just fucking crazy. You can't blame it on nothing. You don't have a fucking brain tumor. You're just fucking nuts.
I had the flash of going through. They put me through that fucking chamber where they fucking x-ray your fucking brain and shit.
MRI?
No, they did the MRI on me because they want to charge you as much as they can. They did the MRI on me, and I, when I came out of that, I was actually excited because at that point I felt at the point in my life I felt insane. I thought something's going wrong with my head.
But that doesn't prove anything. It just proves there's no giant tumor in your brain.
No, that was it. But I was there.
I was actually there
for the doctoral clinical diagnosis of the fact that no, he does not have a tumor in his brain. He's not crazy because the tumor in his brain.
And when he said that to you, I was like, "Fuck yeah!" So I'm not. I don't have a brain tumor.
All you were asking me was like, dude, I hope it's a brain tumor that would fucking explain all the craziness. That's what you fucking told me, motherfucker. And I would not make that up. Man,
I totally remember that.
And that's not, you know, you're not a fucking bad guy for fucking
exactly. So being I don't have a guy. Brain tumor. It's just
a chemical imbalance. There you go.
No, it's not a chemical. No,
it's totally fine, man.
It's just my personality.
See, I don't think I could.
Well done.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Fucking give me a fucking drink. I deserve a drink for that, and that's all I deserve.
There you go. Have a drink, sir. No. Thank you for coming down for one damn thing. You're a hell of a friend, sir.
That's the way it is. Is that the end of that?
Fucking hell.
All right, I think that's the podcast.
All right. Well, let's say goodbye then.
Yeah.
This is Frank Keller Rich saying,
Hold on. Strum us out.
Yeah, give us a song on the way out.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Do we cover all the subjects?
I don't know. We talked about it.
I want to storm the beach with a knife in my teeth, but not just a little bit. I want a city of gold like a legend that's told, but just a little bit. Hang on. Fucking legend.
All right, all right, all right. The man is drunk.
Hang on, hang on, hang on.
So this has been the Modern Drunkard Podcast.
All right, let me try.
I'm Nick Plummer.
I'm Frank Kellerich.
And we're with Luke Schmaltz.
Okay, I'm gonna skip that verse.
No, just keep going, motherfucker. Keep going, motherfucker.
All right.
And again.
I'll cut out those silences.
I'm gonna stick my neck out there and show you that I care, but just a little bit. I got to commit, become legit. I gotta stop screwing around. God damn it. And not just a little bit. Wanna get drunk and get out of this funk, not just a little bit. I wanna take me some acid, get off the grid, and not just a little bit. I wanna storm the beach with a knife in my teeth, and not just a little bit. I wanna stick my neck out there and show you that I care, and not just a little bit. I got the power, I'll climb the tower, I'm gonna show you I ain't a coward! Yeah! Ah! But not just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
The one thing we share is that we're all scared. And not just a little bit. Life couldn't compare if we all only dared. And not just a little bit.
Yeah,
just
how we sell it out right there. All right, yes.
Fucking blew it.
Blew it.
Blew it on that one, buddy.
Oh no, let's.
Where's the booze?
Let's get rolling. Yeah.
All right, enough of this shit.
Should leave the end of that in there, by the way.